The following is brought to you in association with and as a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Let me show you this right here, everybody. Oh, once again, look at this, Gene Okerlund. Look at this, everyone. Woo! You know what this means? It means Randy Savage Elizabeth was mine before she was yours. Woo! Yes! One more time, Randy. It means Elizabeth was mine, big man, before she was yours. And yes, if you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to follow that act? You can't. This is the hottest magazine in press today. Savage is running around the country trying to buy every copy up. Doesn't make any difference. It was on Entertainment Tonight. You saw it. Look right here, Gene. Here we are. Look at this.
Wow, where was that?
At her dining room table. Dom Perignon. She's really working on me here, you know. Look at the look in her eyes. Have you ever seen a woman more content in your entire life? And look at here at the stables.
Oh.
There she is with her two favorite studs.
Yeah, I guess you were her first mate, huh?
Something like that, Mr. Perfect. Damaged goods. Let's go back here one more time.
Oh, my.
Remember I told you about the towels at the pool? The initials R&L, Rick and Liz. And look at here. She even remembered my favorite fruit, strawberries. Nice. Cracking up, Savage. You having a hard time swallowing this? You're going to be damaged goods just like Elizabeth. You got to walk that out. You got to face the best wrestler alive today. The WWF Heavyweight Champion, WrestleMania 8. You having a problem following this, Savage? It's a problem you have to live with the rest of your life. I'm Ric Flair. Elizabeth knows that, and you're not. That's something you got to live with. Remember this, Savage. I'm going to dump you just like I dumped her. You two deserve each other. Damaged goods. Live together the rest of your life. I'm Ric Flair, and I'm riding high. Woo! It means Elizabeth was mine.
Everybody in between, your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, the Impact Playa, Mr. Phil Rea. And I am joined by
Mega By God, Powers.
What's going on, partner?
Just chilling. It is the last day of Black History Month for us. And how appropriate that it has happened on Wednesday.
That's right.
On the Nature Boy's birthday.
Yes, Dave, we are live.
We're live.
That's right, we're live. Rant Entertainment Media, Rant EM Radio is the spot. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. The Wednesday Night Delight, the Impact Player, the Mega Powers, and sadly, yes, it is the last day, the last installment of Black History Month for 2015. Gotta tell you.
It's also the last day of the Cadillac riding. 40-ounce slamming, FUBU wearing, food stamping, styling, and racial profiling. Son of a bitch, the Black Powers.
The Black Powers is making his exit this evening, sadly. We'll have to wait another 360-some-odd days before he comes back.
Hibernating.
Yeah, hibernating, you know, collecting them checks. You know how we do.
Got my stamp collection going on.
There you go. Got my Kearns. Got my Kearns collection. Looking oh so good. All right. I see our homeboy Matt's in the chat room.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I see Scotty in there.
Scott!
All right. I see nobody's in there. Harry's in there from the UK. Good morning to you, sir. It's fucking late over there.
Top of the morning.
Tank's in there.
Are you trying to tell me my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you jockass!
Yeah, you jockass. That's right.
Matt needs to make a clip of the Miss Tidings, Take a Leak. And also the $100,000 tax-free.
I see Mr. X in the chat room. It's a hopping chat room this evening. All right, so before we get into any news and notes, a couple of programming notes. This past Monday, my pal Will Sweeney debuted That Awful Podcast. And also Lee and our buddy Rage, Freaks and Effing Geeks, also on Monday. So now the Rant has programming every day of the week, whether it's live or a podcast. Go check it out. Click on the link. Go to our website, turnbuckle-throwbacks.com. The link to the Rant's there as well. Shining Wizards Network doing big things. King of the Indies still rolling on. Two Shining Wizards episodes. You got one last night. You're getting one tonight. And good stuff.
What, tonight? They're trying to compete with us?
Whatever. It is what it is. I actually invited them out if they wanted to come over for the pay-per-view. We'll get into that in a minute. What else do I have here? So go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Check that out. And I know a new Midnight Jury this week. A bunch of stuff coming out this week. Inconclusive breakdowns this week. New Dave Destruction's coming out tomorrow. Check it all out. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Guys, we're doing big things. It's 2015. Get with the fucking program. You need to get with the program, no doubt. All right. So how was your week, my partner? I haven't spoken to you in a hot minute.
This week was pretty good. Just chilling, working out, hanging and banging in the gym. Got to see a special cut of Gremlins over the weekend.
I'm sorry, David.
Five extra minutes of Gremlins.
I stand corrected. There's no Friday show yet, so there's not a program every day of the week. I'm planning ahead, but there will be soon. So keep your ears out for it. So you saw Gremlins where, on the big screen?
Yeah, on the big screen over in Lincoln Center.
No shit. I just bought Gremlins for like $7 on fucking Blu-ray.
Yo, it's amazing how dark that movie is. I knew it was dark, but haven't watched it in a few years. And watching it on the big screen, I was like, oh shit. Like there was like this like one point where the fuck is her name? Phoebe Cates like mentions some sort of like her and the dude are talking about how you know, Christmas isn't all smiles and sunshine. And she throws out the line like, you know, while some people are opening presents, some people opening their wrists. And I'm like, everybody in the theater just started cracking up.
It was the 80s, man.
Man.
Every time somebody says to me, how could you watch that? How could you grow up with that? I'm like, well, it is the 80s.
It's a great movie. It's still, you know, I went to pay a ticket to watch a movie that I've seen a million times. So if it, you know, for me, it's like that good.
Yeah, Gremlins and Gremlins 2, $7.99 at Walmart on the Blu-ray.
Nice.
So you can't beat you can't beat that. You can't teach
that. Can't teach that either.
You can't teach that. You can't teach not paying for retail. You have to grow to adapt. All right. Let's get into some news and notes. Did you see the pay-per-view on Sunday?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
I was doing stuff while it was on, but I thought it was okay. The only match that really grabbed me was the main event. And even that was a bit tough because it just seemed like the crowd was it was hard for them to get into the match in the beginning. It just seemed like the crowd was just kind of stubborn. They just didn't want to acknowledge the great wrestling action that was happening before them.
I can't tear it apart. I enjoyed, you know, the main event. I also enjoyed the tag team title match. And I also enjoyed the main event. I enjoyed the IC title match was cool. Even though I don't want to take it at WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt cut a good promo with the coffins and stuff. That was pretty. It's been done before, so it's kind of redundant. The Cena Rusev match for me stole the show. But you know the highlight for me, and I admitted this to you on a text message. You're like, you better talk about it on Wednesday.
Yeah, you better.
I
was shit talking about this all since it happened.
I've been saying this for a year. I did not want to see Sting on TV in the ring. I want to see him in an authority role, run in something to that extent. But the face to face meeting he had with Triple H and Triple H calling him out.
Sting! 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 Sting!
That never gets old. But Triple H calling him out. The whole the graphics and the music and Sting had his Sergeant Pepper jacket on. And yeah.
I thought he had more of a Sergeant Pepper jacket back in TNA. The
MCW. TNA. That outfit he wore
is
my kid's action figure from TNA.
I would have thought the guy would have some new gear.
Well, he is 56 years old. I don't think he shops anymore.
Hey, man, he's in the fucking WWE now. He can afford it.
I don't know, dude.
But I'm pretty sure more than enough people haven't seen him on TNA, so it doesn't even matter.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be, Mr. Ha-Ha, you know, trying to pull one over on everybody, but it's true. And, you know, Sting even admitted it. He, you know, it's like one of the things that stuck out in his craw. Like he said in plenty of interviews, you know, that's one of those things that's like dogged him his whole career is that regardless of how hard he worked, you know, in WCW and TNA, it's, you know, when he, you know, tells people who he is, it's kind of like, oh, have you wrestled in WWE? And he can't say yes until now.
You know what? It's the allure, especially with athletes. I know I'm a big sports fan, so and the fans do too. I think that, you know, at one point in their career, when they realize that the team they're on is not going to make the moves for them to be a better team, they want to play with a winner. They want to win.
Yeah.
Now. Even though guys are getting these elaborate contracts, guys are still taking pay cuts and to play with other guys to win. Miami Heat did it a couple of years ago in basketball. In baseball, you're seeing it now a little more in terms of role-playing guys. Like, listen, you know, I'll go here. I'll get to play with this guy. And, like, you know, you start building these dynasties. And these championship teams, there is the allure with Sting, and like Dave mentioned, I think is the whole point of him being the franchise in WCW was a great storyline for Triple H. Because like, I mean, why else would you bring Sting in unless remember the whole thing with him fighting The Undertaker? That would have been cool. But now that he's not fighting The Undertaker, what else can you do with Sting if you're going to bring him in? You're going to give him the DVD. You're going to give him the Hall of Fame nod. You're going to give him a legend spot on the panel. You're going to let him do shit for the network. I'm all about it. I've been a Sting fan since 1989. So I'm all about it. Before the fucking baseball bat and the crow and all the and the raft of nonsense, I was spiky hair, Ric Flair Sting running an hour on Clash. I was Sting and Dusty against the against the Road Warriors in the Great American Bash. I was all about that. You know, I was Sting and Luger as a tag team in the Crockett Cup. I was all about that. I love Sting. I just didn't want to see him in the ring at 56 years old until Fastlane. And as soon as the promo ended, I texted Dave. I was like, dude, I put my foot in my mouth. I marked out. I totally marked out.
So. And you know, I was waiting for that text too.
Well, you know what? I'm a simple dude. I have simple needs. I get real excited easily about pro wrestling. Like pro wrestling and baseball, I get giddy about. Not many things about wrestling anymore get me as giddy as the resurgence of New Japan and Japan in general. The resurgence of the indies. I'm going to more indie shows. I haven't been in this many indie shows in 10 years. And then of course me doing it through the kid. The kid, I live vicariously through him. You see it when you hear. Mikey absorbs everything about it. He loves everything about the product, and he respects the old shit, and he's not even 10 years old yet. So I think it's a credit to what we're doing and what everybody else is doing around them. So, but anyway, but I think if this can go less than 20 minutes and you're telling me a good story, I have no problems with this match. Triple H can still work. And he's actually going to make Sting look really, really good in this match. You know, even though Sting lost a step or two, and Sting can still move, dude, I'm telling you right now, Triple H is in the best shape of his life. And even though he's not a primetime performer on a regular basis, he's going to make Sting look really good at Mania.
True.
So, I like the pay-per-view. It wasn't over-the-top great. People shit on it. They shit on everything. So wrestling fans are fucking retarded. Most of them, anyway. I give it a 4. What do you give it a 4 for? It was there were three like half the card was awesome. So how do you give it a 4? One kid was giving it a 4 on one of these web pages. How do you give it a 4 when half the fuck? It was 6 matches, right? How do you give it a 4 when half the matches were like almost 3 and 4 stars? Come on, man, you're bugging. But that's the IWC for you. But you enjoyed it, though?
I thought it was all right. You know, I wasn't too caught up in it. But, you know, I still really, you know, I enjoy any time that I get to watch wrestling. It may, you know, may not have been, like, the greatest. But, you know, I really enjoyed the Cena-Rusev match from what I saw. Main event was my favorite match. And, I hope that there are better stuff coming down the road for the Stardust and Goldust feud. So I felt that match was a bit lackluster, and I know that these two guys wanted to face each other for a very long time. So I hope when it does, you know, really go down to it and really gets down to the nitty gritty, that this feud is off the hook.
And I just want to reiterate, if anybody is expecting something over the top that you're no longer paying $60 for, don't.
Yeah.
Don't. You know what? Don't. Please don't. You know, the crowd, whatever. Apparently people had headphones on during this thing, on people watching on their computers. And from what I'm hearing and reading from other people and other shows, that they were piping some crowd noise in.
Mm.
So, listen. Whatever gets you to the dance. You have about 5 weeks before Mania. That's going to tell a story in itself. And let's just hope that between that and what we give you guys in the next couple of weeks, you'll be ready for Mania. It's a special time for us, Dave and I particularly. We like it. And last year we had a ball. And we're going to be doing big things this year, to say the least. And especially with the rant, AA's got a lot of programming. lined up for WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be – actually, WrestleMania week is going to be insane. So it's going to be a good couple of months, guys. So pack a lunch and definitely stay tuned.
Put your glad rags on and join me, hon.
That's pretty much it, man. Anything anything from the Orient? Anything tickling your tits New Japan-wise or anything going on?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Before I get into the Japanese stuff, apparently Chris Dickinson had a little altercation with the ECW fans.
Oh, you know what?
This past weekend, apparently.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but go ahead.
Oh, I'll bring it up.
Go ahead.
Apparently, he was wrestling at CZW. You know, truth be told, Philadelphia, since the dawn of time, has been a very hard crowd to please, especially at the ECW arena of all places.
Yep.
So apparently a lot of people were, it wasn't the whole crowd, but I was reading that it was just like a, you know, good chunk of people that were just kind of shitting on his match. And, you know, with Chris, he's very heavy on the power bombs. I guess people weren't too happy that, you know, with his stiff style, which is kind of strange because it is CZW after all. But the man lashed out on social media, and I kind of don't blame him. There have been times where I have stood up for the ECW crowd in the past, but I think this time around it's a bit different. You know, you can only go to so many shows and not give a shit until it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, these guys aren't getting paid all that much. You know, they're just going out there to, you know, kick some ass, make a good name for themselves, and hopefully, you know, get further down the road. No, Chris is a hard-working wrestler. So if he's going out of his way to, you know, shit-talk the ECW arena crowd, I could definitely see a just cause, you know, for that. So we'll see how that goes. I've been to plenty of ECW arena shows where crowd was red hot to the point of becoming white hot. And I've been to some shows where people are just kind of sitting with the thumbs up their asses during the event. Actually, one of the last shows that I went to, it was a Jersey All-Pro CZW double shot. And Kenny Omega was wrestling Jay Lethal. And he was just dead silent. Nobody gave two craps of what was happening in that ring.
I told you the bunch of ECW stories when I used to go to the arena every couple of months from like 95 to like 98. Every 2-3 months I was down there. And guys and girls were just ridiculously. It was like the same thing. It was either people started shit with you because you were not from there, or they were just, you know, or they were cool. Philadelphia sports fans are the worst. And I've been going to games there, hockey and baseball games there, since I want to say 1989, 1990. And, you know, just sitting in the stadium with these people, if they know you're from the other team, and even if you're just sitting there, as early as 2 years ago, I went with my family to Citizens Park for a Phillies-Mets game, and, like, two dudes behind me waited for my wife and my son to go get something to eat before they started, you know, running their mouth. Like, dude, I turn around, I'm like, dude, it's like 90 degrees out here. I told the one guy, I'm like, dude, I'm not going to, what do you want me to do? You know, it's grow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to roof for your team, roof for your team. I'm not being belligerent. I'm not even clapping at this point. We were down like 8-0, you know. Ironically, we came back and won the game after a rain delay. So I fucking, you know, we had left by that point, though, in the seventh inning. But we came back and won the game. But still, like, I mean, these people boo Santa Claus at Eagle Stadium for the football game. You know?
They did.
And they had a jail in the basement of their of their stadium. You know, these people are not, they're passionate, but they're obnoxious. You know, they'll let you know that you're in their home and they're going to, you don't have to go to your way and verbally abuse people. But getting back to Chris, if Chris would respond to any of our messages, or, you know, then I would definitely would have him on the show and let him, because I love Chris's style. Not because he's from here, not because he's your boy, but I'm a fan of Chris and Jock and his team with Pinky Sanchez and all those other cats. You know, I just think that you know, Chris is over the top aggressive, and that's his persona. And he, and part of his persona is part of him who he is. So he's pretty much, like Dave said, putting his heart and soul into it. And he made a lot of waves. A lot of websites picked it up.
Yeah, so, what you see is what you get with Mr. Dickinson.
Yeah, so Chris, if you're listening, man, get your fucking punk ass in the studio with us. And
you know, truth be told, he's just like one of those dudes, like him, Sanchez, not Jaka. But I noticed, like, whenever I try to get a hold of them, their fucking phone numbers are always changing and shit like that. You know, no offense to the guy, but got to get your shit together all around.
Yeah, dude.
I still love you.
Yeah, dude. You got to come on. We'd love to have him on. He's a funny dude. He's very, very, very knowledgeable about the business. Yeah. And he loves old school wrestling, so I just want to pick his brain and let him, you know, speak his piece. And he had a very interesting outburst last week.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, there was getting back to. Well, you want to get to Japan, or you have something else?
One other thing before I get into Japan. Apparently, this is real quick. This is interesting. Pinky Sanchez is putting up on his Facebook that he wants to do a rap album.
I'm not surprised. Pinky's out of his mind.
He is out of his mind.
Yeah, Pinky's out of his mind. Well, get him on. Pinky, come on the show.
He was, took me a while for me to get him on the fucking Shining Wizards, and I had to drive all the way to the Lower East Side to pick his ass up, and then bring him to Matt's house, Studio B,
yeah,
and then bring him back home. So, you know, I don't want to be driving people all over the fucking place, but we'll see what we can do.
I had a message exchange with a former U.S. tag team champion in the NWA who's crying about royalties.
A lot of guys are pissed off about that. Even I know Jericho briefly talked about it on his show during his interview with Shawn Michaels. You know, basically saying like, oh, well, we used to make royalties with the DVDs, but now with the network around.
So I told him to call into the show, and he wants us to call him. So I guess maybe we'll make that happen. I don't know. But I don't know. You know what? There's so many intangibles that he's actually arguing with people on Facebook, and which doesn't make any sense to me. Hold on a second. Surfer says, stop bashing Philly. That's South Philly people who act crazy like that. Hey, listen, dude. If I sit in a stadium, I don't know who is from South, West, East, North, fucking Philly. All right, Surfer? I don't want to hear your shit. Don't message me with the nonsense. You're all fucking angry sports fans. You need to get over yourselves. All right? Anyway, there's so many intangibles. That guy, and he does it, and Mr. X is right, he does this all day long. And I messaged him, like, why don't you come on? I do an old school wrestling podcast. Come on and make your gripe. And he was like, oh, yeah, why don't you call me? And I'm like, oh, dude, I can't call him at work. But, you know, maybe we'll have him on. I'm going to feel him out. But, you know, it's like he feeds into the beast. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll put something on his page. Somebody will respond. And, you know, it is what it is. So, I don't know.
So you think he's just moaning and groaning because you know, not just because of, you know, losing out on the royalties, but just in general. I think he's just become bitter.
But, I mean, I guess because he's seeing himself on the network. I mean, I guess that'd be like a compliment. This is not like like TV or music. Like if they play your song, you have to get royalties.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you didn't. I don't know if Vince owns all the footage. So I don't know how that works in terms of royalties. I don't know the intangibles. I really don't. I really can't speculate. I just know that every time I see this guy, he's yelling at some kid on Facebook, you know? And then he's thanking God right after that, you know?
Praising Allah.
Whatever it is. There was an incident with a Joshi match. Chick got juiced. I didn't see where it was from. Do you know anything about that? Or
it was part of Stardom. I haven't really watched any Stardom lately, but
what is that? Japanese? Is that the Japanese version of Shimmer?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay.
It was between Yoshiko and Act Yasukawa. Yoshiko just fucked the shit out of Act. And I'm not sure what the feud is between them, but apparently there is some beef between them. From what I read from firsthand accounts of people that were actually there, there was a contract signing for the match that was going to happen that night for the championship. And, you know, one of the girls was refusing to sign the contract, and it was just kind of, just a lot of awkwardness in the air. I could tell that there was something up. And, once the match went down, Yoshiko, who's significantly bigger than Act Yasukawa, just fucking unloaded on this chick. No wrestling whatsoever. Just started laying down the punches right on her face. Apparently Act Yasukawa, she was blind in one of her eyes. I forgot what the deal was, but she had some sort of corrective surgery. Apparently she was able to see again. And, Yoshiko, knowing that information, you know, went for that side of her face. And Act Yasukawa was beaten so badly that actually both of her eyes were swollen shut, that the doctors couldn't even operate on her.
So what was the reason for the legit heat? There was legit heat, obviously.
Yeah, there was legit heat between them both. Not 100% sure why, but it went down. let me start over again. On a website that I was just reading, they had a press conference today concerning the punishment for Yoshiko. It says owner of World Wonder Ring Stardom, Rossi Ogawa, held a press conference at the 01 Dojo today to announce what the punishment to Yoshiko regarding her action at Korakuen Hall on February 22nd against Act Yasukawa became a shoot fight, which results have been a TKO in victory of Yoshiko is changed to a no contest. And the results of this is pretty bad English translation, but anyway, results of Dr. Yasukawa diagnosed has several injuries to her nose. Cheekbone were broken. She was diagnosed with a concussion due to shaking of both retinas. They also left her left orbital bone fractured.
I fractured somebody's orbital bone in a hockey game, but that hurt. That the kid told me it hurts there, but anyway.
Yeah, her face, from what I saw afterwards, she looked disfigured. So
yeah, I saw that. Harry says Dave knows what that looks like. Asian women crying with blood on their face.
Oh, come on. Would you be serious? So anyway, Yoshiko said on the microphone that she's sorry for the incident between her and Act Yasukawa, and she's going to try to be professional at this time and ready to take the punishment from the company. Their GM of Stardom held a meeting on February 23rd at the Stardom headquarters with Ogawa as the owner of the company, and many wrestlers that were there were included there. He made the three points of the fist attack to the face. When that happens, the match must be stopped. From now on, they're going to have paramedical staff and a ring doctor that's going to be present at every single event of Stardom to avoid any sort of similar situations. Also, Kari Hojo and Nane Takahashi are representatives that are going to be at the matches there. It means that they'll be handling talent relations, like an intermediary between wrestlers and management. They'll also be handling regular meetings with the wrestlers that'll be held where opinions and ideas can be exchanged. They also announced that the punishment to Yoshiko is that she's going to be stripped of the World of Stardom title. She will be suspended. And the owner, Rossi, Fuka, and Nane are getting a pay cut of 30% for 3 months as a result of this. So this was a really bad, bad, bad thing that happened.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, everybody is now jumping on this. They want to, you know, check out more of Stardom.
Of course.
But, you know, truth be told, a lot of people that were there in attendance did not find this act very entertaining or in any way, shape, or form, you know, something that they want to see again. It was uncomfortable for a lot of people, and you know, this chick got fucking rocked, to say the least.
Yeah.
And this is somebody who, you know, who had blindness in their right eye and had corrective surgery to fix that. And, you know, to come back into wrestling and then have some shit like this happen, that's not cool at all. You know, when I was at the Jersey All Pro show a few months back, you know, Teddy Hart was fucking acting up again. And Kurt Angle was a part of that match and got in the dude's face. And, you know, at the end of the day, even though it is kind of entertaining, it is taking away an awesome match from the fans who paid good money to go to these shows. And to my understanding, Stardom tickets are not cheap. Well, so
well, they're running shows at Kirikan Hall. So, I mean, Kirikan Hall is like the ECW arena, or the the ECW arena of Japan, right?
Yeah, I would say probably even more. There's been shows going on there for such a long amount of time, probably more so than ECW's had shows, but still, just a historic, you know, building for professional wrestling. And I really hope that next January I can make my way back to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom 10 and finally check out some wrestling in Japan. Because last time I did not do anything wrestling related except for Ribera Steakhouse.
It still astounds me that you went there and did no wrestling. Still astounds.
You know, I just wanted to check out the nightlife and life in Tokyo before I really.
Dave loves the nightlife. Nerd
out and sit in an arena all day.
he loves the nightlife and he loves the boogie. All right. Let's see. Any other news? I have some.
Go ahead. Before we cut to break, do the New Japan Cup.
Well, yeah, you have New Japan Cup news, and then we'll get into. I have one more news item, and then we'll go break.
Yeah. Well, you could do the news because then I'll do my contest afterwards.
All right. So obviously, the elephant in the room besides me is that Samoa Joe, no longer with TNA, will be going back to Ring of Honor right now, and he's slated to do a whole bunch of dates between now and March. Unsure if he'll be at the pay-per-view this weekend, which Dave and I will be hosting the pre-show on the Rant live at 7 p.m. It's going to be Ring of Honor's 13th anniversary show, and I got to tell you, I like Samoa Joe. I know there was a lot of hate for Joe last night on a Rant and a couple of those, you know, other websites and pages too. I never had a problem with Joe. I thought he had some good stuff going on, but he had to leave Ring of Honor at that point. A lot of guys made that transition. I'm glad he's going back. I never disliked him. His stuff in Ring of Honor was awesome. 13 years as of Monday. I can't believe it. One of my favorite matches seeing live was Final Battle 2006. I was going through a rough period personally, and someone had suggested to go, why don't you go see Ring of Honor show? And I had never, you know, I've read about it, but I never got into them. I got into them a couple years after they, you know, started up. I'd never gone to a live show at that point. My first Ring of Honor show was Final Battle 2006, which was Homicide and Bryan Danielson. At the Manhattan Center. So, I was hooked ever since. Now, I know the mystique. I also know that it's very vanilla. I also know that, you know, it's not very story-driven. A lot of spots. My issue is how come a lot of more other guys didn't go somewhere else to get signed? Like, Aries went, Punk went, Joe went, AJ went, the Wolves went. Like, a bunch of guys went. Jay Lethal went and came back. Christopher Daniels, Kazarian. How come these other guys couldn't be marketable? Like, how come you couldn't market, you know, Rhett Titus? How come you couldn't market the Briscoes? The Briscoes are the best tag team next to Red Dragon that I've seen in the last 10 years. Like, how do you not?
Wait a second. What about the Motor City Machine Guns?
I don't dislike the Machine Guns. I think that, how come? But how come Ring of Honor? Yeah, but how come Ring of Honor? How come WWE? How come those guys couldn't get marketed? That's my issue. And I don't want to hear about them not talking, because a lot of guys who wrestle that great can't talk. Back in the day, they stepped in it because they got, you know, yeah, Tyler Black too. I forgot, yeah, Seth Rollins, but like guys that was still that stayed could have got the rub, but never did. Like Jay Briscoe has been there since the first card, and he's like he's a lifer. That guy should be on TV every day. That guy, those guys are awesome. You know, why? They can talk, they can wrestle. That bothers me. I know it's not very story-driven, like I mentioned, but you know what? I enjoy it. The talent is always there. They never disappoint. Never. So.
I agree. I was at many of those shows around, I think it was 2004 when I started going to shows, and I actually got to see the very last Samoa Joe CM Punk match live.
That's cool.
That was really cool. And, you know, actually the first ROH show that I went to, they had like a double main event. One of the main events was AJ Styles against CM Punk for the ROH Pure Wrestling Championship with Steamboat as the special guest referee.
Yeah, you mentioned that match. I remember that match.
And the other main event was Samoa Joe defending his ROH world title against Jay Briscoe in a cage. And one of those dudes was juicing so bad, fucking blood just clotted off of their face.
You know, and it's like when actors and actresses go and they do these different roles, or musicians do a different style of music, and it's like I get why they leave. As a performer, you want to expand your resume, you know, but like there's so many guys that should have been signed that weren't, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So this Sunday, 8 o'clock on pay per view from Las Vegas, winner takes all, 13th anniversary. Ring of Honor pay-per-view from the Orleans Hotel and Casino. I'll go down the line here. I'll preview it real quick. You're going to have
former Yokozuna versus...
Right. Evan Bourne is fighting, I believe it's Caprice Coleman. Roderick Strong, BJ Whitmer. Moose is fighting Mark Briscoe. The Bullet Club is fighting the Addiction. That should be great. Oh, versus the Kingdom. So now you have the Bullet Club versus the Addiction, now the Kingdom. That's going to be a three-way tag team match. ODB versus Maria Kanellis. ACH versus AJ Styles is going to steal the show. Maybe even the Young Bucks going against the Red Dragon for the tag team titles. Maybe that might be the show stealer. But what about Jay Lethal defending the TV title against Alberto, now El Patron? And how about this for a main event? Your main event is a high-stakes four-corner survival world heavyweight championship match. Hansen from War Machine, Tommaso Ciampa, and Michael Elgin against Jay Briscoe. So
sounds like it's going to be a humdinger.
Yeah, $30 probably. Pre-show starts 7:30 for them. Our pre-show starts 7 p.m. on a rant. We're going to be taking calls, and we're going to be talking all things ROH.
We'll be talking shit, too.
Right. So, Dave, real quick, we have Facebook questions and your New Japan stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
You want me to do the questions or the contest first?
I will do Facebook questions. Hold on a second. Here we go. All right. We only have a couple. Mr. X wants to know, have you ever fell asleep during the main event of a pay-per-view? yes. I fell asleep during a few of them. Oh, hold on a second. We have a breaking call here.
Okay.
Good evening, Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's wrong, man?
Oh, you mean after that debacle last Thursday? Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you can hear my monitor. I've been rehabbing in the hospital since that debacle last week.
Dude, I do hear the cardiac.
Wait a second.
Dude, you got to...
Okay, listen. This is the way it went down. Everything was fine. Our Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute band, which was called Land, Breeze, and Flame. it was all good. They just got down. We were doing the FCC Championship, the Fried Chicken Championship. We were getting ready to do that. And then the final award for the award show was coming out. And the White Shadow, Justin Gabriel, steals the show. And all chaos breaks out. It was a full-on riot.
Oh, Jesus.
It was gunshots.
Well, I just have to thank Dave for the extra security. I asked him, if things got out of hand, do you know somebody that can handle this situation? And what the detective he gave me was, what was it, Mark Furman. And he helped us out. We had a water, you know, he sprang to action, got the water hose out. We hosed everyone down, hosed everyone out. But I've got a bill, and I don't know who to send this to.
You could make that. You could send that bill to.
Well, here's the thing. I lost my deposit on Simply Red. They were going to play afterwards, and then all of this. I can't get that $35 back. That was a $35 deposit. I'm out on that. Okay, and then also these road reports are out of my pocket. So when I did the spread, I went out, Phil. I bought good chinette. I didn't get Dixie paper plate. I went out and I bought good chinette because I was going to reuse it. Because if you get the good chinette, you can wash this stuff and you can reuse it. And actually, it was my wife's nice chinette set. So I'm out all of that. I figured there was going to be some losses. Hey, it's chinette. Some people are going to take that home. I didn't figure on having a full loss. And to top it off, when the hoses were going out, I ruined my brand new pair of Keds. So I've got a total bill of $78.46 that somebody's going to have to help me out with.
You could send that to Rant Entertainment Media, P.O. Box.
LLC.
Yeah, LLC. P.O. Box 8675309. I believe it's Hollywood, Florida. I don't have the zip code. I'll get you on Twitter. I'll send you the zip code.
90210.
Yeah.
Right next
well,
to
I know your slogan is you guys will make it right. We'll make it right.
That's no doubt. No doubt.
And I'm getting ready to do physical therapy right now because I'm so shot mentally. I mean I can't. What they're having me do is do Operation, the board game, to help with my steadiness because I'm so frazzled of what happened last Thursday. I've got the butterfly out of the stomach, but I can't get the wrench out of the arm. So once I get that completed, I'll be out of physical therapy.
Well, we apologize that you're all in bad shape.
It all went good until Surfer Hijacked and Justin Gabriel was announced, and then everyone just, you know,
dude,
that's a white boy. That's not – and then it was downhill from there.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have saw – the kids were crying. There was chicken everywhere. It was a mess.
There was purple drink powder all over the place.
Oh, I don't even know how much Flavor Aid was spilt.
Oh, Jesus.
It got
all that Flavor Aid all over Dap Sugar Willie's, you know.
We got to tighten the ship next year, guys. We can't have no fluke winners at the end, you know.
All right. Well, I told – well, Tony –
all I got to say is that AA stands for affirmative action. and Surfer had to break in to our show at the Apollo and have his NAACP people come in there to pull the wild card that, you know, Justin Gabriel is South African. You know, that may be true. But he wasn't going to be our winner.
It's grade eight baloney. It's baloney.
Yeah.
That award should have went to Norman Smiley and Norman Smiley only for the big wiggle. That's it.
Oh, boy.
And we
hands
had a big,
down.
We had a big performance that was going to happen, which didn't.
All right. Well, gentlemen.
You know,
gentlemen.
I wanted to see Simply Red, and it was completely shot. after that, after the chaos. So, but thank you for the big ups, Mega Powers, for the Mark Furman tip in on that. He knew how to handle the situation. Once everyone started getting rowdy, he goes, "I've been here. I know how to handle this."
Good thing I had that Groupon.
Oh, you're telling me. And the only thing I left with was with my plush Dave Mega Powers white weasel with a watermelon scented belly. And you know, that's my only
seeds
token.
Included.
So 78.46, that's my bill. Somebody help me out. Maybe we can start a Kickstarter or something.
Yeah,
Kickstarter.
We're going to take it out of Surfer's pocket because he, you know, gunned down half of the audience. And we can't tolerate this.
Great, so now Surfer's the Suge Knight of the rant, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't that some shit?
I mean, our facet, it was tragic at best. It was smooth sailing until then. So next year we're aiming bigger, we're aiming brighter. So I'm going to do some rehabbing and hopefully get out of this place and then get back on the road for you guys, all right?
All right, brother.
Well,
feel better, man.
Matt, I would like to thank you for holding it down at the location B for the whole Black
down there. We were in Charlotte at the Piggly Wiggly, and it was hopping until that bombshell was dropped.
Yeah. They dropped a bomb on us.
You know, in the words of good times, you know, damn.
All right,
thank
Matt.
You guys.
Rest up.
I gotta get my sponge bath.
All right,
feel better.
Minute.
Thank you.
Jesus. Wow. Dude.
Phil, you missed a very historic night, but also a tragic night at the first annual Black Achiever Awards, and I would like to throw it out there for anybody who has not listened to the first annual Black Achiever Awards that we held last Thursday. It was a sight to behold.
Jesus Christ. You know what? I couldn't. It was my wedding anniversary. What am I going to do? Tell the wife? No.
What you can do is download the episode and listen to it.
I did, dude. I'm all about it.
Telling everybody. Download it.
Oh, Rant DM Radio. Yeah, go to Rant DM Radio. Go download that shit.
Listen to it at work.
Yeah, and then I told Tony C next year we'll spearhead a committee to
spearhead a committee.
We're gonna spearhead a committee to
to
get things going and make it a little more organized.
Yeah, you know, we as a people need to work together, not against each other.
All right, let's get your news out.
There's too many of us killing each other.
All right,
we're killing our brothers and sisters on the streets.
Baza wants to know, why do you think, speaking of Black Achievers, why do you think, good segue, thanks Baz, inadvertently, why do you think WWE is ill at ease to promote black talent?
I think we talked about that before.
I think we did too. And
because they suck.
No, well, not that they suck, there hasn't been anybody extraordinary. Like,
true.
Don't tell me, you know, Kay Quick was your guy. The last great black wrestler was Booker T. I mean, you got guys now in the indies. You got guys like Caprice Coleman and ACH, and you know, you have guys in the indies. But if they get the
who's really stepping it up?
Yeah, who's really?
And
who's the complete package? You know, I don't. It's not nobody playing a race card to be. I'm not even joking about it. No, legit. Like I'm not. You know, but
even with my man Darren Young coming out looking like Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah, right.
Fucking sweet back. You know, what's really standing out about these guys? Well, not just the African American talent, but just a lot of these guys in general. And nobody's really taking the ball and running with it. You know, not too many guys are really putting themselves out there. Actually, when I was at the gym earlier today, there's a lot of, you know, high school wrestlers that go there to train. And, you know, the owner, Zach Evanish, was, you know, throwing it out there to this one's kid's parents. And he's like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are just weak in general. Nobody really wants to immerse themselves in, you know, what they're doing, what they love, what their passions are.
Right.
And, you know, as a result, there's a lot of guys that just kind of they kind of flounder. They're just there. They're collecting the paycheck. You know, they're having okay matches, but nobody's really going past their comfort zone, I can, to say the least.
I mean,
you know, granted, you know, I know that there's guys like Ziggles who's, you know, really throwing it out there, you know, in his promos that he's kicking ass and doing his best.
Well, but that's ACH. ACH is the Black Ziggles. So maybe ACH gets the rub.
I don't know.
I think ACH is the Black Dolph Ziggler. That dude goes out there and puts his neck out every single match, whether he's in Beyond, whether he's in Ring of Honor, Evolve.
You mean that he's the Dolph Niggler of the...
man. All right, let's get off.
I'm actually... I didn't even come up with that. My man Sugar Dunkerton actually came up with that line for himself.
Sugar Dunkerton from
and, you know, I used to work with ACH in Beyond Wrestling. And
yeah.
He was a fan of my racial humor.
Of course he was. Everybody loves Black Powers. All right, let's get into some New Japan news. Let's get a break, wet the whistle, come back, and we have a kick-ass throwback this week.
So we got the New Japan Cup.
Right.
Happening on March 5th. March 8th is going to be round two. Semifinals and final will be on March 15th. And we got the here's the brackets. Top seed is Hiroshi Tanahashi going against Toru Yano. Top match. Next match is going to be Kota Ibushi against Doc Gallows from the Bullet Club. Tetsuya Naito, your boy.
Naito! Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I heard that all night for Wrestle Kingdom 9. Like your wife was even telling you to shut up.
She's like, shut up. I'm like, shut up and go in the kitchen and make my fucking hummus. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Kazuchika Okada going against Bad Luck Fale. The Unchained Gorilla Togi Makabe going against my man Tomoaki Honma.
Yeah, those guys.
Hopefully, the man will win a match.
Those guys are gonna tear it up, dude.
That is gonna be your slab of beef match of the night.
You're goddamn right,
to say the least.
Yep, absolutely.
Yoshihashi going against Yujiro Takahashi from the Bullet Club. The anti-aging hero Yuji Nagata, Mr. Blue Justice, going against Hiroki Goto. Satoshi Kojima. It's going against Katsuyori Shibata, who's the bottom seed. And I think in the past, like the New Japan Cup was, you know, for the up and coming guy. But now, I would say, especially with Okada's win a few years back in 2013, he really elevated the prestige of this tournament. And the winner, they're doing something new for the finals. The winner gets a shot at their choice of either the IWGP Heavyweight Champion or the Intercontinental Championship or the Never Openweight Championship. So it's actually literally putting all three championships on the same level. So this is going to be interesting to see. This one is going to be a tough one to call. I honestly don't even have a pick.
And when does this kick off?
March 5th.
March 5th.
The first event. So it's actually going to be next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
So I'm probably going to do my best to not break my no caffeine rule. But I'm probably going to end up drinking a shit ton of coffee just so I can stay up and watch this.
So is this Wednesday into Thursday or Thursday into Friday?
This is probably going to be a Wednesday into a Thursday deal.
Oh, dude.
Because keep in mind, like, they were a day ahead of us.
Right.
They're 16 hours. So I mean, 14 hours ahead of us.
I get up at 5, so maybe I'll catch the end of it.
So I hope that I don't have to miss any of it due to work. But anyway, I threw it out there on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Facebook group. We're going to be doing a contest, random draw, because, of course, everybody wants to, you know, pick Tanahashi or Okada to win this.
Nope.
You know, they're the top guys, but you never know who's going to literally
going from the
don't
bottom.
Know who's going to win. Everybody's a fucking excellent candidate to win this tournament.
Word.
And since all championships are available to the winner for a shot, at Invasion Attack on April 5th, which is going to be a month later. You know, it's going to be a tough call, but threw it out there. We are only going to be covering the contest on the show. So that means you got to listen to the show. Enough of the freeloaders trying to get free stuff off of us who,
word,
you know, aren't listening to the show. So we're going to start it off. I'm going to go from the bottom seed to the top.
Okay.
So we're going to start off with Katsuyori Shibata. And the first person to get that is actually going to be Stickman. Stickman is going to get Shibata as the bottom seed. Actually, let me start writing some of this shit down so I don't forget it. And the next person is going to be Satoshi Kojima. And that is going to Tank. So it's Tank and Stickman at the bottom seats.
Okay. That's a big – that's a bunch of slab. That's a lot of beef down there.
You know, for bottom seeds, you know, Kojima is the first guy to unify the IWGP Heavyweight Championship along with the All Japan Triple Crown. And the man last year won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at Wrestle Kingdom from Iron Man Rob Conway, or the Con Man, if you remember him.
Yeah.
So the man is fucking accomplished. I think he's got to be like in his like mid to going into his late 40s, and the guy is still fucking incredible.
Yeah, Kojima, yeah.
Stiff as shit.
Nice picture of him with the belt recently. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
So.
And Shibata, man, was formerly a mixed martial artist. Got his start in New Japan. Actually has a recent win over Tanahashi in the G1 Climax tournament. So,
word.
For a bottom seed, that's a hell of a bottom seed, to say the least.
Okay.
All right, next one is going to be Hirooki Goto. And that is going to Mr. Danny Kitcher. Danny Lewis Kitcher.
Oh, host of the...
Get in the ring.
Get in the ring, yeah. Okay.
Next one is going to be Mr. Blue Justice, Yuji Nagata. And that is going to Natalie Vanstone.
All right.
So she'll be taking battle with Mr. Danny Kitcher.
Uptown Georgie, to answer your question, no, I do not think Carlos Colon is black. He's Puerto Rican. Carry on, Dave.
He looks black.
Well,
you cannot count him for Black History Month.
Go ahead. Keep it moving.
All right. Next one is going to be Yujiro Takahashi, Mr. R Rating. And that is going to be taken on by Harry Taylor. That one, that one's going to be an interesting one because Yujiro is still kind of like a I would consider him like a mid-card guy. He used to be tag team members with Naito and Team No Limit in TNA as well as New Japan. As Naito has, you know, ascended to the top ranks, for me, Yujiro Takahashi still has a lot left to imagine. So we'll see how Harry fares with him. So the next one is going to be Yoshihashi, and that is going to Mr. Anthony Miller.
All right. Big Tone. Who's in the chat room, by the way? Shout out to Big Tone.
So, Big Tone, you got another B-level guy.
Let's keep it moving.
Next one is going to be Homa. And that is going to Mr. Mark Hitchcock.
He said cock. All right. That's the Nick's boy, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, and his opponent is Togi Makabe, who is going to Uptown Georgie.
Uptown Georgie, there you go. We could save postage on him. I'll just deliver it because I work in the city if he wins.
Yes. All right, next one is going to be Bad Luck Fale.
Ah, here we go.
We're getting to the up to the top level.
Yeah, who's had some interesting pinfalls? We talked about that last week.
Yeah, he's got several. He's got two pinfalls over Okada in tag action recently.
Yep. So who got
Bad Luck Fale is going to our boy Barry Smith, aka Baza.
All right, Baza getting Bullet Club member Mr. Bad Luck. All right.
We'll see if he has bad luck in the tournament or not.
All right.
All right. Next one is Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker.
The Rainmaker.
And that's going to your boy, Andrew Otto.
Mr. Otto gets the
Otto, my bad.
All right. Otto gets the Rainmaker. All right, then.
And that is a prime pick right there.
That's Tits McGee right there.
Now, where are the other names? Am I missing some names in here?
I don't know, but you're moving
this like weird football helmet, and it's just kind of.
But you're moving like old people fornicate here. I thought you would have this all set up already.
I put it all inside of a football helmet so I could mix it up, and it has like all these fucking grooves inside of it. So
dude, just use a baseball cap.
I don't wear baseball caps. You know, I'm just gonna crumble it up in my hand and then pick it out from there. So next one is going to be the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, which is going to Thelonious Punk.
All right, Mr. Punk.
The hell is that man's real name?
I don't care.
Is it Phil?
We'll call him Thelonious Punk. That's
all right.
So he goes by
Mr. Carl Anderson.
Don't disrespect the man's name.
Too late. All right, next one is Naito, which is going to Pete Sanzone.
Ah, Pete, so another local guy. Shout out to Pete.
You know Pete?
Yes, he's friends with. He does a podcast. He's friends with the dude from Habib from PWS.
All right.
I met Pete at a couple of shows. He's a good dude. Shout out to Pete. They haven't done their podcast in a while.
Pressing along, Doc Gallows. He's going to our very own Mr. X.
Nice. Mr. X getting Big Doc, the Gallows Club.
He's getting Super Festus.
Super Festus.
Oh, I think I'm missing a name. Let me look at my football helmet.
Harry says Thelonious' real name is Phil McCracken.
Phil McCracken.
That's not nice.
Okay. Next one is Kota Ibushi.
Okay.
It's going to Kevin David.
All right.
Which I do not trust the man with two first names, but we'll see how he fares.
He's in a contest, dude. We're not naming kids after him.
Okay.
Okay.
Next one is Toru Yano, which is going to Nick German. What?
Nothing. Keep it moving. You're an idiot.
And I'm missing a name.
Scott, maybe?
You know what? Scott has the prime fucking pick of Hiroshi Tanahashi.
All right, then. So,
has Scott won anything in the past month or so?
No, he's won our admiration. No.
Okay, Scott, you have fucking Hiroshi Tanahashi, which is...
So now you know...
One seed in the tournament.
Right, so there you go, guys. That's the random picks.
The dude literally was champion a few weeks ago, and now he is not. Can he win this tournament? And
Mr. Rex is happy he got an American. Wait, Mr. Rex got Carl Anderson, you said, right? Or Gallows?
He got Gallows.
Oh, because I know Anderson's in Ohio, and I thought
Thelonious Punk got Carl Anderson. Got
the machine gun. Okay.
Yeah.
So there it is. So if your guy wins, you will get a nice prize because this is really good stuff. And if you follow the
this is fun. And I want to, you know, I was inspired by your Royal Rumble contest.
So, all right, listen, I'm going to whip the whistle, take a quick break, and then we have a nice little throwback for you to wrap up Black History Month. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man. Harry, it's fucking like... It's really late there, so thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you to everybody.
He needs to call in if he's fucking...
Maybe we'll take a call when we come back. We'll Turnbuckle Throwbacks live, rantemradio.com, a Shining Wizards Network production. Let's plug our friends and play some shitty commercials, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo! Scratch-off ticket for the North Carolina Educational Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
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 You know, nobody likes partying more than the rockers, but the party's over when you start smoking.
That's right, rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling doesn't include smoking. Be a survivor.
Don't smoke.
After a hard day at the office, working up a big thirst, many professionals reach for the smooth taste of Mellow Yellow.
Woo, baby! Mellow Yellow, the taste that beats Mountain Dew.
And now, Mellow Yellow has pictures and all the facts on your favorite NWA wrestlers. Ric Flair, Sting, the Road Warriors,
and even my pretty face.
Head to your favorite store and collect all 12.
Woo! Take it from Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. Make the Mellow Yellow move.
Rant Entertainment Media. That's right. Go to rantemradio.com for some fantastic programming. Every Tuesday live at 8 p.m. you have The Rant with Double A and Tony C. Every Wednesday night you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live with Phil Rea, the Impact Player, and Dave Megapowers. Every Thursday evening you have The Rexplex at 7 p.m. and Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. Every Saturday evening live at 11 p.m., Mr. Will.i.am Morgan with the Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Sunday, live at 5 p.m., it's the What Are You Reading comic book show with Jordan Surfer. And a weekly visit from the Lex Experience podcast. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio. As soon as you know what our show, head on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for 10 awesome shows. You have the After Midnight Podcast, the Midnight Jury Podcast, Thursday Night Destruction, the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, Apex Radio, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 2.5 Wrestlers, King of the Indies Podcast, and of course, the Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. Forget about that. You just brought up...
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C. just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was... amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Stop now.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
Nah, he only hit her one time.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
Oh, yes, Wax. That was so disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, see, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help Ike.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on rantemradio.com.
Goodbye, Joe. Me got to go, me on my own. Me got to go before the beer rolled down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me on my own. Son of a gun, we'll have Big Barn on the bayou. Jumbo! crunch is my Philly gumbo. For tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shadow Mill. Make it tough, give two jaws and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
A lot of people try to copy me, but there's only one Niagara Falls, only one Mona Lisa, and there's only one irresistible, Sweet Daddy Siki.
Mr. Irresistible. The lady's pet, the man's threat.
Welcome back to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. No, this is not CMT.
Is CMT still around?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Rage, the original TNN, the Nashville Network?
Yo, Rage just private messaged me on Facebook asking me how to unclog a toilet. Oh, man. I can't even answer that right now.
Well, they don't have a Ace Hardware in the ghetto, do they?
No. Ace is the place, but not in Newark. All right. So what you just heard is a Hank Williams cover of Jambalaya by Tonight's Throwback.
Which Austin wanted to sing at the beginning of WrestleMania 30.
Right. He didn't get it.
Vince gave him the fucking axe on that one.
We're talking about Reginald Siki, originally from Montgomery, Texas, 5'10", 245 pounds, otherwise known as Sweet Daddy.
Sweet Daddy Siki, the original black man to bleach his hair.
Now, Dave, what do you know about Sweet Daddy Siki?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know much, but I know I love him. But originally, he was like the first way that I heard about Sweet Daddy Siki was a good friend of mine who I've never met, never heard his voice, nothing. But we met on the AOL chat rooms. Not AOL, Yahoo chat. And there was no sexting going on or anything back then.
That's my next question.
But the man got me into some of the best professional wrestlers of all time. He was the guy who introduced me to Bruiser Brody, to Bobo Brazil, to Stan Hansen, all those greats. Abdul the Butcher went out of his way to make me wrestling mixtapes. Literally random shit thrown on a VHS tape. And I remember the dude would just like bring up Sweet Daddy Siki like at random moments. And you know, the internet was still fairly new. It was like the late 90s when I met this guy online. But you know, there was still like enough information where you can go out and, you know, read about these guys. And you know, I'd see photos of this guy. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. This guy was wrestling in the 50s and 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s. And he looked the way that he did. He's the first dude. He was like the black, gorgeous George. And he was over as a face and as a heel.
I don't know if he was a gorgeous George. Because he bleached his hair.
Maybe not. Well, I'm not going to say Gorgeous George to a T, but for, you know, putting together that getup of the bleached hair, the mirrors in the ring, checking himself out, wearing gloves with the frilly shit on the side of it, you know, stuff like that. And which is that, you know, first of all, you know, a lot of, you know, we talked about over the past couple months or so, you know, a lot of these African-American performers, you know, regardless of what territory they were in, there was only just like one black guy that would be in the territory. So, you know, to have not just one black guy, but to have a guy like Sweet Daddy Siki, who's putting himself over, you know, how superstar Billy Graham would put himself over in the 70s. But doing it way before him.
Good comparison.
And
I just stuffed my face with ice cream.
It's okay. Continue stuffing your face.
No, go ahead. No, finish.
But to have the kind of rap that superstar Billy Graham had before superstar Billy Graham was doing it, and to have the similar kind of outfits to what a Gorgeous George or a Nature Boy Buddy Rogers would have at the time, really like extravagance, capes to the ring. That was a big deal. I don't know how, I don't know too much, down to a T, like everything that this guy encountered, but I can only imagine, what stories this guy has to tell about being that kind of a African-American performer, throughout all those decades.
Here's something I didn't know. I thought he was Canadian because he was based out of Toronto. What I found out was he was from New Mexico, went to L.A., got trained by Ray Ortega and Sandor Sosbo, who were part of the old NWA regime in the West Coast.
Yeah. And, Sandor was a former NWA champion. I think it was like the Montreal version of the World Heavyweight Championship, because as we mentioned with Lou Thesz and all, like there was like several people, claiming to be the world champion at
every territory. At one point, every territory had a world champion.
Yeah.
So,
and there was like a territory U.S. championship, a territory world tag team championship.
Right.
So there was a lot of claims to various championships.
So, I didn't know this. He was a light heavyweight at one point, bumped up to like 230, 245, and then at that point he got trained. It was like, this is like between 55 and 60. He moved to Toronto in the early 60s because it was a central location across where he was going from, like North America, obviously. He said, and he quotes, "When I came to Toronto, I said, 'My God, this is God's country.' I fell in love with it." And he still lives there today.
He's still alive. This dude is older than fucking dirt.
He's not only is he alive, but he hosts a weekly karaoke, country western.
I got to see what that's all about.
And he works as a DJ. Now, what we played was he recorded a country western album.
He recorded several.
Well, that was
country western albums.
Right. The main one he did was the album cover is him in his tights facing himself in cowboy gear.
In some tight ass jeans.
He worked for Stu Hart and Stampede. He worked in Eastern Canada for Bear Man McKigney. Was like a god in like Newfoundland, apparently. He's wrestled in Australia, New Zealand, Puerto Rico, Japan, and
he's a WWC alumni.
Yes.
So maybe Uptown Georgie caught a match or two.
This guy was the Junkyard Dog of Canada. Like, he would pack out the Maple Leaf Gardens like JYD did in the Mid-South. Ran a wrestling school. Trained Hall of Famer Edge.
And Christian. And Rocky Johnson.
He's
one of the dudes that helped keep Rocky Johnson still in the wrestling business. Because I'm sure, a lot of these guys, what they experience, there's more than enough times where they just don't want to fucking do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I was that way when I was doing Beyond. I got sick and tired of traveling all over the place and not getting paid anything.
He was two-time WWC North American Heavyweight Champion. He was a Stampede Heavyweight Champion. He was the Canadian NWA Champion, the Western Canada one.
Mm.
Ohio NWA Champion, Ohio Tag Team Champion with Leo Graham. He was Hawaiian heavyweight champion, Hawaiian tag champion with Moondog Maine, Texas NWA champion. He was the Vancouver NWA Canadian tag team champion with Shibuya.
Mm.
Now, Shibuya is an old Japan guy, wasn't he?
I'm not too familiar with Shibuya's career. So I can't speak on that.
I'll look it properly. Up right now. Shibuya was
Stampede guy.
Well, and yeah, San Francisco, California, NWA, Hollywood, NWA. Yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah, he was in the old regime. All right. Yeah, he was also Atlantic Grand Prix champion with the Cuban Assassin, the original Cuban Assassin, also teamed up with Bulldog Brower. So he's had some success in a lot of territories he was in.
Yeah.
Another guy with a crazy, not very good finisher, but Dave, you want to get into his finishing move? Or?
Well, he had an array of finishing moves.
One
of them was the standard black man finisher, which was the Coco Butt. And, keep in mind, during this time, if you do, look back at some of this guy's matches, especially during his prime, in the 60s, there's not like a lot of like fancy, moves or anything like that. There's a lot of like headlocks, arm bars, hammer locks. A lot of locks, and for especially his repertoire in the 60s, it's a lot of that kind of stuff, your standard body slam, suplex. But when he was setting up for the win, it would always be with a textbook drop kick and the Coco Butt, which would get him the win.
Yeah, sweet drop kick.
He had a pretty damn good drop kick. Which is not the easiest thing to do, let me tell you. And, further down his career, the man used a shoulder breaker finisher as well as the airplane spin.
A lot of guys used the airplane spin back then, though.
Which is, I found it funny. There was a recent, talk right now about Cesaro. And there was a lot of complaints from whoever was talking. I think it was like Austin or somebody. He was like, "Oh well, the guy uses an airplane spin. That's a face move." But Sweet Daddy Siki was using it when he was a heel.
I like how it's still considered like a face or a heel move, where fucking you got faces like John Cena throwing submission moves. But primarily those submission moves were heel moves back in the day.
Yeah.
Normally
your faces weren't going to be making guys submit. They weren't going to be overly aggressive, because the guy that was going to be overly aggressive was going to be the heel, because what's a good face, without a great heel? Needless to say.
Right.
But nowadays, a move like an airplane spin is totally a face move, because the fans are going to be counting, how many revolutions that guy is going to be going.
Right.
So, back then, I can't really speak for, fans back then, what the devastation of the airplane spin was.
It was all kayfabe too back then.
Yeah, of course. But, I couldn't imagine, back then it had, much different, perspective than it does today. Something like that, I could definitely see a heel getting away with, just because it's a cheap move. A cheap move to get the face, in a position where he's helpless or he's dazed, so he could take advantage of him. Plain and simple. So I can see that being the case for, Sweet Daddy Siki back in the day using the airplane spin as a finishing move.
I have no problem with it. Not that time anyway.
Yeah. But it's interesting how, moves from back then, which could have been used primarily for a heel, are now being used for faces. How that dynamic has completely turned itself upside down over the years.
Well, it did something for him, because out of all the major championships I mentioned, six of them were considered major titles. Okay.
Yeah.
He did suffer a lot of injuries, though. One of them left
him, the game.
Yeah, one of them left him his half of his face paralyzed.
Yeah.
In the 80s, he would go to these little towns in northern Ontario and in the Maritimes, and he wrote his own theme song. I can't find it. I'm so proud of what I see.
Yeah, man. Like, it is really hard to find some, you know, decent information about these guys without like buying books, you know, at spur of the moment. Also, it was like really, you know, for me at least, it was very tough, you know, tracking down some decent matches. But for what there is available, there are some really like classic matches. Actually, while I was doing research for this, I was able to find a match with Sweet Daddy Siki teaming up with Sailor Art Thomas going against the Sicilians.
Albano and Tony, who's the other Sicilian?
What the hell's the name of that other
Altamori or something like that?
Yeah, Altamori, that's it.
Right. The Sicilians.
Which, you know, they caught some heat from doing the Sicilians gimmick because it was very close to a lot of mafiosos. And but the match that's up on YouTube, I think it's like a Chicago like historical association that put together the reels, you know, from that match and presented it on YouTube, which is great. They actually have a lot of classic wrestling on there. Can't remember some of the matches offhand. I know they do have some early Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and some Vern Gagne, possibly when he had hair up on there. So it was some really classic stuff, but it was interesting seeing that match go down because the match happened in 61. Lou Albano did not look the way that he does now. He wasn't disgustingly fat with rubber bands in his face. And, you know, fucking Sailor Art Thomas and Sweet Daddy Siki built like a brick shit house. These guys are jack, ripped, chiseled, cut, defined. And they're going against like these slobby looking Italian dudes wearing the black blazer, the white scarf, and the white hat.
You better watch yourself when you talk about Italian people, man.
Hey, man. I'm in New Jersey. I'm safe.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, it's, you know, one of these really like classic old school matches. Two out of three falls. Australian rules, as it used to be called. I think it was even, you know, they still use the phrase Australian rules in a lot of those Saturday night's main events too.
Yep.
Which I found interesting. How the fuck did Australian people come up with two out of three falls? Anyway.
That's something we should do. Look that up.
The origins of the Australian rules match. But it was a pretty cool match. You know, no frills whatsoever. You know, body slams, arm bars, punches, you know, that kind of deal. And lo and behold, the drop kick and the cocoa butt gets the victory. Actually, in two straight falls. The Sicilians didn't even get a fall on these guys. So that's interesting to see, you know, two African Americans in 1961. Martin Luther King is still on the horizon.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're getting a win over on a white team. And, you know, in general, a lot of the African American teams and singles competitors were over. They were faces.
And we talked about this last week, too, with Bobo. I think, again, Dave mentioned before that, you know, these guys were the only African-American guys in certain territories, and that was one of the reasons why they were over. I mean, there might be some, you know, I guess legit, I don't want to say, there must be some, I don't want to say proof, but maybe some validity to that, only because they were all talented. Every guy that we talked about, you can market. So that's the piggyback on the question that was asked before by Boz.
They had cool names.
They're cool, and they cut promos. They these guys that
they cut some killer promos.
That's here's the thing, guys, and just take this in for a second. You know, there's a ton of guys right now, and I know Mr. X brought it before, I think, in the chat room, that can work, but they can't talk. And that's probably the reason why you don't have an ACH on NXT, that you don't have a Caprice Coleman. Why Jay Lethal was never on WWE programming is beyond me, because he could do it all. Okay,
And I feel a guy like Jay Lethal would fit into the WWE. I think actually that would probably bring out more of you know, who the guy is. You know, and we talked about this. I feel like the guy is very vanilla, but he was amazing as Black Machismo. The guy has it. He just needs to
harness it.
Figure out, you know, hone it, you know, refine it, and, you know, get in touch with who the hell he is.
Right. So again,
he's been around for a long time. Like, he was he went to the fucking same college that I did. I think we may have been going to school at the same time. Either that, or I graduated the year before that he came in, or I graduated the semester before he started coming in. So he's around similar age to me. Guy's been wrestling since then. He's a graduate of the Jersey All Pro School. He's fucking got it. He can do it. He's just got to. I don't know what's holding him back from really breaking into the mainstream.
So
is
now,
it because he's black?
Yeah, I don't. I'm so sick of the fucking race card, man. And
it's over, man. There's too many like successful black people now.
Yeah,
people to really play the race card.
Get over yourselves, man. People play the race card. You need to do something else. Better.
There's a lot of black people that are making more money than I am, and they're not selling drugs. Hit that bell.
Right. But seriously, though, Dave, well, I mean, just stop playing a race card. If you bring something to the table with the complete package and then put them on NXT. And then you know what I'm saying? And then we'll talk turkey. Getting back to Sweet Daddy, he started winding down his career in the 80s and started a wrestling school through the Toronto Youth Athletic Club every Sunday. Sully's Toronto Youth Athletic Club. He continued to wrestle into the 90s. He was affiliated with the school up until then with a partner by the name of Johnny Powers. I don't know who Johnny Powers is. I have to look that up. I tried looking him up.
I think that may be actually the guy who faced Inoki for the NWF championship.
What, the old
like the original New Japan belt?
Original New Japan belt, yeah.
The NWF heavyweight championship.
Well, look, I didn't get a chance to look him up, but that might be the same guy. It might be the same guy. I'm not sure. I don't know if that guy was Canadian or not.
The only other Johnny Powers I know is a rockabilly artist.
Right, so that might be the same guy.
Could have cut a rockabilly album and then beat some gooks over in Japan.
If you guys want to see a real recent appearance by Sweet Daddy, he appeared on the September 13th, 2011 episode of SmackDown for Edge Appreciation Night. Because, like I said, he trained Edge, Christian, Rocky Johnson, Joey Legend he trained, apparently. When they had the Sex and Violence team, him and Edge, back when Edge was doing the indies.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Sweet Daddy is, you know, every Saturday afternoon he's on the corner of Queen and Leslie in Toronto at the Duke Bar doing the, guess he's a
karaoke.
Country Western karaoke. So like Dave
might have to swing by.
Yeah, dude, I'm so pissed. He's 70. He'll be 75 years old this year.
Wow.
Sweet Daddy Siki. So I tell you what, my next trip to T-Dot, man, I definitely have to. I didn't even know he was. I would have went if I knew he was there the first time I went to T-Dot in 2002. I would have definitely went. I was in Toronto for a whole weekend. I would have definitely went to that bar. And I hate country music.
Maybe they might have some Ozzy on there. I don't know.
Maybe he'll do a country version of Crazy Train.
Yeah.
But
Mama, I'm coming home.
Another guy who just African American wrestler who cemented himself into and made a sort. I want to say legacy, but he made a great name for himself. Major championships in every territory. Was loved everywhere he went. And the guy could work. And he cut promos and recorded music and, like, traveled the world. The guy was a fucking another trailblazer in this.
Pioneer.
Yeah, I mean.
Black pioneer.
Guys didn't write their own shit back then. Guys didn't even have theme musics back then. He was probably doing it before the Freebirds did it.
Now I need to track down that song because,
We'll find it.
You know, I found it interesting, too. You know, here's a random fact. Apparently, Jim Carrey put Jerry the King Lawler through hell on the set of Man on the Moon. You know, keep in mind, Jerry the King Lawler, you know, obviously worked with Andy Kaufman. Jim Carrey did not. Never met the guy in his entire life. But Jim Carrey had it in his mind, like, hey, you know, this is how Andy Kaufman is. He's an aggressive asshole. That he, you know, he was basically just like portraying the guy that was like doing, that was cutting all the promos, you know, for all those CWA, you know, classic battles that Kaufman had with Jerry the King Lawler. And, you know, he was pulling the, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, method actor treatment. And he was acting like, you know, his idea of who Andy Kaufman was on the set. And he drove Jerry the King Lawler up the fucking wall. At the end of it all, Jim Carrey apologized to him and gave him some very rare wrestling records, which included the albums by Sweet Daddy Siki. And I think in turn, Jerry the King Lawler ended up giving Jim Carrey his outfit that he wore in the movie.
A side note on Jerry King Lawler has nothing to do with Sweet Daddy Siki, but they're putting out a 3-disc set of Jerry Lawler stuff. It's Good to Be the King.
If you know, I heard they were going to do that like a long ass time ago.
It's apparently in production as we speak.
It's got the green light.
Yeah. So if that.
So wait, what are they going to put on there?
That's my question to you, partner. I don't know.
Because I know Vince doesn't own the Memphis stuff.
But does Jerry Lawler though?
No. There's a private owner who has ownership of all the Memphis stuff. Their name isn't, as far as I know, their name isn't revealed out there. Just a private owner,
dude. If he
has it,
if he bought the Memphis stuff, they gotta put that out.
I wonder if it was one of those deals where the television company was like, okay, well, we're gonna get rid of this shit, and they were ready to put it on the fucking side of the street to be picked up. And, you know, some guy just pulled it up and just, you know, bought him out.
I don't know.
I wonder if that's the case. Because we all know, and that's part of the reason why it's so hard to find, you know, a decent amount of, you know, Sweet Daddy Siki matches or a lot of these, like, really old school guys. You know, I think it's amazing that there's a lot of those Luthez, Ricky Dozan matches or any of those Ricky Dozan matches from the past. That they're available full length on YouTube.
Yeah.
But there's more than enough wrestling organizations out there, especially Los Angeles, who was a WWA. I would love to see some of that stuff, especially with Classy Freddy Blassie
Pat
filing
Patterson.
His teeth and doing the vampire gimmick.
Yeah, Patterson and Stevens, they were a fucking amazing tag team back then.
John Tolos brothers. I'd love to see some of that stuff. Apparently, like there's like these classic cage matches, and the first cage match with John Tolos and Freddie Blassie, and all of that stuff.
Buddy Rogers went out there. Bruno went out there.
Yeah,
a lot of guys went out there.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, no, that's crazy, man. See,
there's either people taped over it, you know, or they just got rid of it.
Yeah, this is the stuff the Turnbuckle Throwbacks has to get on.
You know, even, what was it? Like, even, was it, you know, Vampira? The original, you know, horror, you know, television show host. There's only one episode of that show that exists. Out of how influential Vampira has been.
Right.
You know, first of all, with Elvira and her fucking, her jugs. First victim of the Mule Club.
that was such a great episode, man. That was such a great episode.
It was.
The Mule Club.
Well, the whole Mule Club thing didn't really happen until after the episode.
No, you're absolutely right. And if these,
I think you used the phrase 12-inch mule, but then like it didn't really get going until whatever pay per view we were watching.
Right, the Mule Club. But if these fuckers would buy more shirts, I'd put more shirts out there. But I'm not. Yeah.
So
we did sell a shirt this week though, so thank you.
Excellent. You know, Misfits, you know, did a song, you know, giving an homage to Vampira, but all of what she did, there's only one episode of that show that people can actually watch. How fucked up is that?
It's very fucked up. So, but
people still talk about her today.
I'm more sad that Black History Month is done. I think we did it justice.
It's a black day in Black History Month.
Yeah, it's. I think we did it justice this year. I think with the, I think the Black Achiever Awards put it over the top.
Yeah, you know, nothing can really like top that. That was an epic night. A lot of laughs were had by all. I'd like to give a shout out to Maddie Legend for doing the promotional work, the posters for the Black Achiever Awards.
Yeah, dude.
Literally last minute because speaking for myself, I was fucking crazy busy going into this and yeah. A lot of stuff didn't happen till last minute. And luckily he was able to help out with doing the Photoshop to promote the first annual Black Achiever Awards.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. That was cool with the Akeem, and that was pretty fresh shit.
I would like to thank my man Black Hammer, Tony C, for co-hosting with me.
Yeah, I might be taking a trip down south with the family. I told Tony C and the boys if I do, we're going to have a little bit of a small summit, a gathering, if you will.
At an NXT show?
No. Just to hang out with the boys. I know Double A's in South Florida. I know Tony C's in Central Florida.
Wait, has Tony C ever seen Double A?
I have no idea, man. I don't even know.
We'll have to talk to Black Hammer about that. I'm curious. Like,
I've seen Double A.
You've seen him?
Of course.
You know what he looks like?
I do. He looks like Double A.
Come on. Would you be serious?
I am serious. I'm not gonna
cut the crap.
I know what he looks like. I'm just putting that out there.
All right.
But anyway,
he sent you a photo or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow his spot up.
All right.
He's a private dude. He's the boss. You don't cross the boss.
I understand that. Well, the boss crossed us on Black Achiever Awards.
It's his network, dude. You do whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, the man, AA stands for Affirmative Action this month.
Yeah, next year.
He helped Surfer with the tragic news, the loophole, if you will, of Justin Gabriel winning the Best African Athlete Award with the fucking loophole that he's from South Africa. Who would have thought?
Right.
Who would have thought? Yeah. And I'm not giving anything away by telling you who the winner was, but right. Y'all listen to the show and experience what we all experienced, a historic yet tragic night.
Absolutely. So next year we will do it more justice. So we are going to...
It's going to be bigger, blacker, and better.
Absolutely. And I'll have more guests on the pre-show.
Very good. And thank you for the black carpet pre-show. Oh,
yeah,
that was
black
a lot of fun.
Was, yeah, Mike Tyson, Dusty Rhodes, Dave Chappelle. It was pretty cool.
Yes. Rick James was there.
Rick James was there in spirit.
I'd like to thank Matt, Maniac Matt.
Yeah, he's recovering. Feel better, homie.
Yeah, man. I heard the IV in the back.
No, you heard the cardiac monitor.
Yeah, that's
which
it.
I hope the nursing staff doesn't see him using his phone because that'll fuck everything up.
You know, the man has liquid Lay's potato chips going through the tube.
Wow.
I don't know if the man will be able to eat solid food again.
I'm sure he will. He needs to get back on the bus.
He might have the big one and join Elizabeth. I don't know what's going on. I'm very concerned.
All right, so let me.
And he also hit Double A with his truck before the show.
He did, yeah.
His semi,
yeah. Double A's car got wrecked. But his new car's fresh though. Anyway, so
he's got a Cadillac,
something like that. I want to thank everybody in the chat room tonight. You guys were awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for hanging out with us every Wednesday, like you do. This is no exception. Now it's officially WrestleMania season. So Dave and I are going to do diligence like we did last year and pull out some good stuff for WrestleMania month. I don't know if every week is going to be WrestleMania, but I know we got one or two of them that we already want to do already.
Yeah.
And there'll probably be an open mic session during one of those. And a bunch of stuff because there's a couple of Wednesdays where I will not be here. I'll be at a concert. I'll be at a bowl game. I got a lot of shit going on this.
Yes, and I got to speak with a potential guest.
Potential guests we have coming on. So it's going to be a good couple of weeks. Just hang out with us. Well, as always, we're very active on social media. We'll keep you posted. Let me start doing our outro, which was right up our alley tonight.
Yes, prime pick.
The name of the dance is called The Butt.
Yeah, man.
It's called The Butt. Playback! Ernest, we got to go down this way, okay?
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Time to do the butt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start pulling this train in. We got a Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us again. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. All the shows are there. All the links to all our friends are there. We have T-shirts, guys. Four different kinds. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We have the original. We have the NES logo. We have the World of Sport logo and the New Japan logo. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. It could be whatever, guys. Just support the show. Support the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. RantEMRadio.com. And, you know, have a great rest of your night. Don't get arrested. Don't do drugs.
Don't eat too much sugar.
Don't eat too much sugar.
Be up all night.
Yeah, don't beat your kids with wooden sticks like Adrian Peterson.
Don't beat your wife with a shoe.
Yeah, Ike.
Like to throw out a little plug for my friend's podcast, the Thumbstick Ninjas video game podcast.
What's the website on that?
It's thumbstickninjas.com.
That's right. Thumbstick Ninjas. That's an awesome name, by the way.
They gave us a shout-out this past week, so...
I gotta check that out. All right, guys. This Sunday, 7 o'clock, Rant EM Radio. Myself and the Mega Powers in studio. Hopefully I won't be too inebriated from the St. Patrick's Day parade out in Staten Island.
Good Lord.
For the pre-show... Yeah, for the pre-show, 13th anniversary, ROH. We'll be taking calls, hanging out with you, and hopefully you'll join us. If not, we'll see you next Wednesday. Mega Powers, anything else?
All I got to say is look out for the New Japan Cup tournament because you might just win a Cadillac.
Wow. Wait, that's in the budget?
It was in the budget for JYD, so why not?
It's a Rolls Royce, you idiot. He didn't win a Cadillac. All right, guys.
Whatever.
We're out of here. See you next week. Avoid the clap. Give me your butt. I